Welcome back to Afros and Combos.
Hey, it's Kiko.
Dre here. And it is Cookie. As you notice, Camille is out. She is busy, studying and stuff. So, you know.
She booked and busy.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, as always, like and subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on social media at Afros and Combos on IG. Email us at afrosandcombos@gmail.com. And check out that website at afrosandcombos.com. How is everybody doing?
I'm doing great.
I'm doing well as well, and it's time for Trending Combos. Now let's get into it, niggas. Let's get into it.
We couldn't even make our little noises or nothing.
No, it's time. No, ain't no noise, niggas. Listen. All right. So I don't know if y'all heard. If you ain't heard, I don't know where you been. They done freeze the nigga Bill.
The nigga Bill.
Y'all, Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
Is out. He free.
He in the streets.
Yeah. He got the welcome home party with the thing that said welcome home because he freed. He freed. Y'all.
Wild.
What was y'all's thoughts when y'all saw that? Because I know y'all got the notification that came through your phone. What was y'all's thoughts?
I got the notification. My immediate thoughts was, I'm sure it was a technicality because I'm pretty sure he's guilty. So it couldn't have been like, oh, we did a DNA test or something and it was someone else. Like, no, I'm like, it has to be some tiny little loophole and he's getting out. And I was just like, there's no way they're going to try him again. And I was just like, this is what money will do.
Yeah, I don't get notification from news apps because that would stress me out. So your alert Cookie in our group chat was what got me. And I literally responded, what? And that was my response in person, like in real life. Because I knew they were trying to, you know, appeal it and stuff, but I didn't think it was going to be anything because he did it. Like, he admitted to doing it. So when you sent that, I was like, how the heck did that happen? And then when you were like, it was a technicality, and I was like, man, this is trash. And then when I read up on what the technicality was, I was like, oh my God, this is ridiculous. He's guilty.
Like, which I don't know the technicality. I didn't read it. I just assumed.
Oh, so for those who don't know, basically he was sued by one of his victims way back when, like in the early 2000s, I want to say.
Yeah, it happened in the 2000s.
Yeah, so he was sued for assault, and the DA basically agreed, or whoever was like on the plaintiff side agreed that if he gave testimony, and I think he kind of just wanted it to go away, and he wanted to settle it, but they wanted to get on the record like what happened. So he agreed to give a deposition in exchange for him never being criminally charged for that particular incident. Mm. And so because he gave his testimony under the promise that he would not be criminally prosecuted, that's what the technicality ended up, because they ended up using that deposition. Because I remember that was now the number of women that came out, I was like, Bill did it. Yeah. But when that testimony came out, because he admitted to drugging women, he admitted to using it, he admitted to having Quaaludes, he admitted to all that. And I was like, man, nigga, Bill, like,
yeah, you going to jail.
Like that hurt. But so they use that testimony in his criminal case, and in using that testimony in his criminal case, I believe the Pennsylvania Supreme Court found that that was a violation of his right against self-incrimination, because he gave incriminating testimony under the promise that he would not be criminally prosecuted for it. That was the technicality. I actually agree with that decision. I just don't like the outcome.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Bill should be in jail. Bill should rot in jail. Like, all those
things. Bill should have been in jail.
Yeah. And it's just, it's unfortunate, but, you know, you can't, I mean, even like legal scholars, like during the time when the conviction happened and all of that, they were all like questioning how they went about getting him convicted and using that evidence and that deposition testimony, and that it could come back to bite them in the ass. And it did. So yeah, that was what happened. Well,
but honestly, the alternative, if they hadn't used it, he probably wouldn't have been convicted. He wouldn't have served any time. I mean, this was probably the only way to actually get him behind bars.
Behind bars, you're right. Time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
And the thing that trips me out is him tweeting, talking about he still stands upon his innocence. And I'm like, what?
You admitted what it, homie.
Yeah. What innocence are we talking about here? Like, you are on tape saying you literally intentionally did this, like, act. So what innocence are you standing on? You sexually harassed women for decades. Assaulted. And this is...
You did more than harass.
Assault. I was going to say rape, but I was like, I was just keeping it at that. But for decades, like, there are still victims that didn't come out. And you sitting here talking about you still stand on your innocence. Yeah, that's even what makes it even more frustrating, is you still out here trying to pretend like you're not trash. Just because you got released does not mean you're not guilty. And the fact that people are conflating those two ideas is just like, come on, y'all.
But that's like so common. Like, that's what people do. Like, I know I can think of... people I know personally that it's like, but you know, just because your case got like overturned or no one said you're innocent. Like, no one said you do it. On the contrary, like, we all know you did do it. So like, just be quiet, take this and just go home and continue to be quiet.
Don't say nothing else.
Like, that's the thing. Somebody get out. I was innocent from the beginning. I told you. It's like, we didn't believe you then and we don't believe you now. So,
that's crazy.
I mean, also along those same lines of, you know, declaring innocence and blah, blah, blah. What? My fave that let me down, y'all. I knew, because she was bad. She was bad when he was going through as
she
well.
She was.
She was. And then she kind of like backpedaled a little bit. And so then I'm like, okay, she good now. And then he done got locked up and she shut up. And then she done got hired. She done got on the Howard stuff. Mm-hmm. And she done, you know, she done got jobs and bags and stuff. If y'all know who I'm talking about, Felicia Rashad. Little Miss Thing. You hurt my heart now.
Yeah.
I was rooting for you, nigga. I was rooting
for you.
She done turned, I thought she had turned over, but... She get around and started. What did she tweet? Something about this was an injustice.
Finally, all capital letters, look like 5 exclamation marks. A terrible wrong is being righted. A miscarriage of justice is corrected. Which she could be talking about the technicality. Yeah, when I saw you, we said that, I was like, wow, Felicia, you just want to just drop all the bags? You just
like, girl, chose violence today. Why did you do it? You literally had, there wasn't nobody checking. Well, people probably was checking for her to see.
Absolutely.
Because it was clear what side she was on.
Absolutely.
But, you ain't got to say nothing. Don't say nothing.
Literally didn't have to say anything. Or she could have, the statement she ended up coming back to say about, I stand with victims of sexual assault or whatever. Yes, please.
I fully support survivors of sexual assault coming forward. My post was in no way intended to be insensitive to their truth. Personally, I know from friends and family that such abuse has lifelong residual effects. My heartfelt wish is for healing.
That's like a white person calling a black person the N-word, and then they get called down. They're like, well, no, my hairstylist is a black woman, and I love her to death. Girl, you should have been thinking about those family members before you said that.
But my thing is, if you think he was innocent, then you don't actually believe that there are any victims of sexual assault involved in the situation at all.
Exactly.
So what are you talking about? Either you believe
victims if he's innocent.
Exactly. Either they victims or they not. So what you talking about?
Which is it, Felicia? Yeah. But shout out to one Janet Hubert, who, for those who don't know her real name, she was the dark skinned Aunt Viv, the Aunt Viv we all know and loved that got cut real quick. She made several tweets. The one that got me, I love that she used a gif of herself tagged to the tweet, which is just like, that's just iconic. She said, Felicia, what are you thinking? I don't know you, but to say this was terribly wrong. Everyone knew what he was doing back then. How could you not? Get your umbrella, sister. Here comes the shit shower. Which I don't know what a shit shower is, but okay. I am outraged that he has been released. Yes, he is an old ass guilty man.
Wow.
And then she goes on to say, she knows 5 women personally who have not come forward, and enough of y'all, you know, knew better, and powerful men do wrong things regardless of their skin, like regardless if they're black or white. So yeah, she had time today for Felicia. What stood out to me the most in her statement was her, we all knew he been like that. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's just like, you probably should have left that out, because you're incriminating yourself. Because if all y'all knew this man was out here trash, now y'all want to be up in arms about him being vile? Like,
I didn't really have that thought, though.
You think that...
That's just like, for instance, like, if I came to you and was like, this person who is in authority sexually assaulted me, and you know that person, and you know that person from the industry, and I'm like, this is what happened, and you're my friend, and you helped me walk through that, and then 20 years later, it blows up, and you like, yeah, we knew back then that he was like that. I mean, I don't think that it was your responsibility to be out and bill if I came to you in confidence as a friend.
Man, look, I would have ordered a billboard and been like, Bill is a trash ass. Like,
but that's not your story to tell.
It is not my place. You're right. But I would be very, very passionately about it, and I would have to figure out what that looks like. But I just can't.
I think you're also looking at it from today, and how society is today versus how it was back when he was doing all this.
Absolutely.
Because it very much would have her career was tanked anyway for literally going against a little boy. So if she tried to go up against Bill,
that's true. Mm-mm. There's power involved for sure. That's why Harvey is coming down now and all that. Like, I get that. Yeah. But she went at Felicia. I'm interested to see if anything comes out of Felicia's statement. Because at the end of the day, Felicia Rashad is still like hella lovable. Mm-hmm. And when she was making them problematic statements before, people were just kind of like, Auntie Felicia, just stop talking. But we still love you though. And celebrating her wins. I'm interested to see if, you know, something happens with Howard or whatever. Like, if there's any kind of backlash, because she's very liked. Like, even with me, it's just kind of like, you should stop talking. Like, just shut up. Like, you're tripping. But I'm not going as far as being like, yeah, we can't really mess with
canceled.
You no more.
She ain't canceled. Yeah, nah. Right. Cancel
she ain't canceled.
Her.
Yeah. And I don't think she will be canceled.
Yeah, I don't think she will be either.
Yeah. Yeah. Same.
But ooh, she. Chile. Y'all think. Yeah. Y'all think R. Kelly gonna, R. Kelly's team about to?
No. Nah. Mm-mm.
Robert
for one,
said
R. Kelly, R. Kelly ain't got bail money, so
that's true.
That's number one.
That's true. Ooh, Chile. All right.
In other news, we mentioned last trending some trending convos ago, either one or two ago, about the NCAA case where they were allowing students to be able to have education-related expenses paid for. Well, it has come up that the NCAA has actually taken a vote to allow athletes to profit off of their name, image, and likeness. So, yeah, you know, steps are being made to get athletes, you know, some of this billions of dollars. And essentially where that boils down was, I mean, there were states, not like not all 50 states, obviously, it was like maybe 10 or so that had passed legislation to allow athletes to profit off of them themselves and name, image, likeness, and all of that. So you would have had a issue where it's like some athletes are profiting and some ain't, and that ain't fair. So in order to kind of get rid of that problem, I guess they voted, and we shall see what happens. You know, things are shaking and moving over there, you know? So it'll be interesting to see what they what the money gonna be looking like for these little college athletes.
What's the payment structure set up?
Is it a
flat? No matter if you a bench warmer or starter or what is the. And I'm very interested to see, and when that come out, I'm very interested to revisit the conversation of, is it still, which it probably will be, is it still probably the best move to just go overseas and play and then come back? Because they're not going to be paying them that kind of money.
They might be able to get sponsorships, though.
They can get sponsorships. They can't get paid directly by the school. They have to get it outside through sponsorships.
But they not. You think them college kids may be making that kind of money?
Yeah, but well, depending on who it is, because that makes me think Master P, when his son Hersey got recruited by TSU, he did an interview where he said this was in April. He said, I have a deal for Hersey for $2.5 million that's on the table, but I can't sign it until after August, because he was just like, they're potentially going to change the rules. He said, I also have a deal for my other son, Mercy, which, my Lord, these names, that he, and I think he's a junior in high school or sophomore. He was like this potentially for about a little over a million. And I remember him saying that, and I think we may have talked about it on the podcast, and I was like, what deal? Like, how is that even potentially possible? But now with this rule change, if he signs that, he didn't release what the product was or whatever, Hersey could potentially, with sponsorship, make $2.5 million. And so that's Hersey, who, great player, but he ain't nowhere at no level of like a player at Duke or UNC or Gonzaga or all these other big schools. So these kids can easily make millions. Like Zion Williamson, who his shoe broke during a basketball game and Nike stock plummeted. That's how much power he had. Imagine if he would have gotten sponsorships while in college. Easily could have gotten up to 10 mil. Easily for him. So yeah, these kids can make money for sure.
Yeah. That'll...
It's going to be interesting though. I have mixed feelings about it, but I think it's great to open that door, but I'm just like, there's a lot of things that get kind of opened up with that makes me nervous.
I know management about to be booming.
Mm-hmm.
The world of athletic management. What you got to do? I don't want to do that. I'm over here plotting and planning career moves. I don't want to do that. I ain't trying to negotiate no contracts with nobody but myself.
Yeah, it did say something about them being able to get agents and all of that.
Yeah. I mean, they would have to. Yeah. Like, there's no way these kids have the wherewithal to be able to negotiate these things for themselves.
Absolutely. Which it is. It is. Yeah. But hey, game changer.
Okay. So I'll go next. I have. Well, my first story is pretty lighthearted, but So there is a British civil engineer named Will Cutbill, and he recently broke the world record for having for stacking the most M&Ms.
Yeah.
And his tower came in at a whopping 5 M&Ms.
Yeah.
I read this story and I was like, oh, I can beat that.
I was about to say, I want some M&Ms now so I can try.
Like, I've literally never seen a world record and been like, I actually think this is within reach. I would like to give it a try. I have not yet given it a try, but I definitely will. But he says that it's a lot harder than it looks. He said they're not as flat as you think. They're quite spherical. It's a bit like you can imagine balancing footballs or soccer balls. So, I mean, I have admitted on the show before I'm a serial hobby starter.
I support this.
Oh my God, this is about to be a hobby.
Nah, I support this.
So I just feel like that part of me and how I'm wired is like, huh. You could put a little time and energy into this, and then, you know. But I'm like, this guy is he's an engineer, but.
I support it. Yeah. I'm willing to donate 2 bags of M&Ms towards this cause.
Great. Awesome. Make sure you get the white chocolate kind, so if I fail, I can just eat them.
That's so funny.
Okay, and so my other story is, so the parents, some parents from Parkland, which that was one of the schools where there was like school shooting, students died. They duped or like tricked an ex-NRA leader into giving a graduation speech to empty chairs. And the number of empty chairs that were out there were 3,044 empty chairs that represented the students who would have graduated high school this year had they not been killed by gun violence.
Oof.
And so basically the former president of the NRA, David Keene, he thought he was practicing his speech for the graduates of Madison Academy. And he even said in his speech, there are some who will continue to fight to gut the Second Amendment, but I'd be willing to bet that many of you will be among those who stand up and prevent them from succeeding.
Oh my God.
Dag. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my
God. Wow. That's a gut punch.
I was just like, first I laughed really hard. And then I'm just like, I have not seen anything about like his reaction once, you know, the truth was made known that no, actually this whole thing is pretty much a stunt and no, they won't be standing up. And you know why they won't be standing up? Because they've all been killed by gun violence.
Like, yikes.
But I'm like... Yikes. Shout out to them. Like, that's a statement. And even the photo is so powerful.
The photo is jarring. Oh my God.
To see him standing there with all of those just empty chairs and thinking about the weight of what literally one of those chairs represents. And then for there to be thousands.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Which, it was a high school graduation?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, is having a high school graduating class of 4,000 normal?
Well, it's 3,000, but...
Or 3,000?
I guess depending on the school, I don't know.
Well, that just seems like a very large number.
He's so out of touch, he wouldn't know.
That's true. Like, I just feel like if you get on stage, you see that many chairs, you're like, dang, what? This is a lot of people.
Yeah, if they don't tell you there's 3,044 chairs out there, like, you just walk up there, see empty chairs, and just start talking.
And maybe he thought, like, you know, faculty members, parents, family something, family was going to be out, like, just, you know, they just chairs. He don't know who's sitting there. That.
And he's, like, in full, like, robe, like, graduation regalia, like, the whole thing.
Oh, my God.
Ooh, Chile.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm sure he's pissed.
That's a statement. I'm here for it.
It is, absolutely.
I'm here absolutely for it. Especially with the interesting irony of his statement of some of you yes. all, none of them. Not because
I'm like, nobody made, like, they tricked you into doing this, but nobody made you say that.
Yep.
Those and are your words.
You shot, pun intended, yourself in the foot.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, he wow. hasn't made, he hasn't, well, as of the time of the article that I read, he has not issued a statement about the incident. And he has not returned any attempts to get a comment from him. I'm sure he ain't answering nothing now from now on. Everything gonna have to go through his lawyer. Gonna have to sign documents. He ain't speaking nowhere, doing nothing.
Wow.
That's all I got.
Wow. All right. Well, I'm gonna go. Mine ain't light. We're gonna just slide on in. The Free Britney movement has gotten a bad hit. So I think we've talked about this before when it was kind of in this early stages, but within the last couple of weeks, Britney Spears has gone back again requesting that her father be removed from conservatorship and gave a testimony that was pretty damning and really sad about how she felt just basically oppressed, bullied. She was forced to get birth control. She wanted the birth control removed because she wanted to have a child with her current boyfriend, and that was being denied. She was taking medicine that was apparently having negative adverse effects that she didn't like, and was just coming to court once again appealing for her dad to not have his hands on her neck. And earlier today, actually a couple hours ago, as the time of us recording it, it's been reported that the judge has denied her request and her father will continue to serve as the conservator over her. I'm really, really confused because you've had all these people coming out with statements from Kevin Federline, her sister, which people are like, her sister may be profiting off of this, but several celebrities have come out in support of having her pops removed and saying that she should have the liberty to be able to do what she needs to do and the freedom to do what she wants to do. And the fact that this keeps getting denied is really, really baffling to me because it sounds very much like she is completely unstable and therefore that's why this is happening. But I don't know. I'm just really confused because even Kevin Federline released a statement via his lawyer. And it was basically, you know, he stands in support of Britney doing whatever she needs to do to be in a healthy space because when she's healthy, if, you know, it also benefits their children. But he also recently adjusted the terms of their custodial agreement to now have, I believe, 80% custody and Britney has 20% or 70-30. So I'm like, what is it with Britney? Is it that she is unstable and they have all these things in place to, you know, help her be more stable? Or is it all these things as a result of her dad being the conservator is causing her to be unstable and, you know, erratic or whatever? But it's just, it's sad. Like even listening to or reading the, you know, the transcripts of her testimony, it's like Britney is what, like almost 40?
I think she's 39.
And her,
she has to be.
Her dad and whoever else is just living off of this woman's wealth. And all she's saying is like, I want the birth control removed or I just don't want to be on these pills. And it's just baffling to me. And I really can't even fully make sense of it, but she's been denied once again. And I don't know what that means moving forward for her. So what are y'all thoughts on that?
Does she not have to go through like periodic psyche evals? Like, isn't that what led to the conservatorship to begin with?
Like when she had that mental breakdown?
Flipped out, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if since that moment she continues to have psych evals. I don't know. I mean, I would think that would.
Especially if you are requesting for it to be removed and for it to be denied, I would think that you would need, I mean, but again, some things don't work as logically as you would think that they should.
Yeah,
but
She is. So I think she is subjected to psyche vows. The problem is, though, is that she does not have her own representation. So her lawyer is picked by her conservator and paid from her money, right? So the lawyer is retained for Brittany, but is picked for Brittany. So Brittany can't even pick her own attorney. Wow. So she had tried to get separate counsel to represent her interests on her own and have that particular lawyer reach out to, because yes, she submitted, she has psyche vows, but she can't see the medical records. And because her lawyer is picked and, I mean, her lawyer is supposed to work for Brittany, but her and is paid for by Brittany's estate and money, but is conversing with her dad. And so the lawyer is like working for her dad. Yeah. And so the doctors are picked by her dad. All of that's what the issues are. So it's, could it be that she is submitted to psyche vows and it's like legitimate that she still needs to be under possibly. But the issue is that at no point it does it seem that there is a independent review of anything that's going on with her.
Yeah. Okay, so I have another question. So, you know, so when like minors, there's like a conflict between like them and their parents, or like their parents don't have either the wherewithal or like their parents are the issue and can't make the legal decisions. There's like a guardian ad litem, right? That like represents the interests of the minor. Mm-hmm. Well, if she's in a conservatorship and she has no legal rights for herself, like, is that not a thing that she would be able to get?
I think the conservator kind of is the same thing as the guardian.
Yeah.
But if the, but that's just like, the parent is the same as the guardian, but if the parent is the issue, then that's when you're given a guardian ad litem. So if her issue is with her,
but she can't say that the issue is her parent because the parent, her parent, her conservator, okay, her parent happens to be the conservator, but if you just take away the fact that that is her parent, she has a conservator, her issue cannot be her conservator. The whole point of the conservator is that you need somebody to take care of you. So you can't say that the person who you need to take care of you is your problem, because the whole reason you have a problem, like that's why you have a conservator in the first place, because you have a problem, right? Like you can't say that's like, what if the guardian ad litem was the problem? Like it's so complicated to unwind these things because the assumption is that you need it. And so you can't unwind it. And that's what the issue is. Like, yes, her dad, if there was not a legal relationship, would be the issue. And that she should be able to have somebody step in to represent her. But the issue is that her dad is the conservator. And there is so much more right. I don't know if rights is the right word, but there's so much more power in his relationship over her as her conservator than over her as her dad. Like it is much easier to snatch a kid away from their parent than it is to snatch somebody away from a conservator.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I wasn't saying because he's her dad. I was him in that role.
Right.
Essentially is functioning as the parent of a minor would, but if it's the parent of a minor is the issue. But it's different. It's
different. Mm-hmm. And the power that a conservator have is just so much greater in terms of the legal, because there was the assumption is that there was a legal process to get it there in the first place. So the assumption is that it is legally sound. And so in order to unwind it, it's a whole mess of shit that you got to go through to get it unwound. So it's just, it's really complicated. It's really unfortunate. Could she have legitimate needs for it? It's possible. I don't think it is probable though. Like, I don't think that she, especially if she was working, she's been working, she's been performing, she's been doing all of this shit. And if she, and that is, it was forced by her conservator. Yeah, so it's like, if she is able and sound enough to put her out on stage and perform and be in public, right? Yeah. you would think that she could have some sort of say over whatever it is that she got going on. Could she be under meds while she doing all that? Possibly. Who? I don't. Nobody knows. But it just seems like you talking out of both sides of your neck when you're forcing her to work, but then also saying that she can't have access to the money, that she, like, she can't even take a little Target trip without asking for permission. Like, that's how in depth this shit is, and it is kind of frustrating. So, I mean,
which it makes me think of one. This sounds a lot like I Care a Lot.
Mm-hmm.
That movie where they were like, stealing old people's money. Like, you get the court to decide that you're incompetent, so then you can steal their money, but then they can't say that, no, I'm not incompetent, because the court has declared that they're incompetent. And
exactly.
It's like this terrible cycle.
Yep.
And also, aren't there varying degrees? Like, surely they have to provide some level of evidence to say that there still needs to be this level of restraint, because wasn't there a similar situation with Lindsay Lohan? And she was like, but she was then given like some power, but not full power. And then she could. So for it to still be at the level of he controls every penny, every legal decision, every everything, like, I'm just, there has to be something that we're missing. Like, there has to be something.
I don't think that there has to be something. I think legitimately there could, but I don't think that there has to be. Jamie could be paying off these doctors to say whatever it is that he want to say, and nobody is going to challenge him. Brittany has no recourse to be able to challenge whatever these doctors say. Brittany has no recourse to be able to investigate what is going on with whatever these doctors are saying, how they're coming to their conclusions. Nothing. She has nothing. Everybody answers to Jamie, her daddy. So it's like, but again, it's possible. I just, I don't know that it is very likely that it is a need at that level, at this high of a level, to where she cannot touch anything.
She got to ask permission to take the birth control out of her body.
And then if it is, like, why are you putting her out on social media to say that she's fine? Like, you forced her to go on social media to say that she's fine to silence this Free Britney movie. If it's everything all good and gravy or whatever, why are you forcing her to show face and lie, basically, where she ain't comfortable? Like, it's just...
Keep that money flowing
in. Ain't adding up. You know, the math ain't mathing for me, so... You know.
Yeah, I mean, it's a sad situation, and I hope that, you know, whatever's wrong be right, because even if she, like you said, Cookie, even if there is a need for her to have some kind of over, you know, seeing of her estate, not at this level. That's just, that's some strictness, like she a 3-year-old or something. But hopefully, I don't know if she's going to try and appeal it again. I don't know what happens moving forward, but hopefully she's able to get that lax and her dad stops being an asshole. The next piece of news, have you guys heard about what's going on in Canada, in Saskatchewan and Alberta? I don't know if they're the same place, but with these schools that are finding mass graves of Indigenous people. Okay, so racism is not a concept that's just limited to America. Canada has a very long history of widespread just systematic abuse of Indigenous people. So apparently in the early 1900s, I believe, for decades, Indigenous children were taken from their families by force at times, and they were crowded and put in boarding schools that were often ran by churches, Catholic Church, and they were prohibited from speaking their language. They were basically trying to erase their Indigenous, you know, heritage and ethnicity from them. While at the boarding schools, many of them were abused. There are stories of young girls that were getting impregnated. They would take their kids and like burn their bodies and incinerate them. Just really horrific stories. And for generations and generations, Indigenous people have passed down oral stories of, we sent our child away, they never came back. My brother went to this boarding school. He never came back. My sis, all these stories. My aunt apparently went to this boarding school, never came back. And it was just kind of dismissed. And so of recent, I think in 2008, what is their current, what's the Canadian leader's name?
Justin Trudeau.
Yeah, Trudeau. There was a commission or something set up in 2008 called the National Truth and Reconciliation Commission. And since he's been in office, there's been push to try and unearth all these wrongs that were made towards Indigenous people. So he was just like, yeah, we make a charge. We're going to do that, whatever. So they started, these boarding schools are still standing. And I don't specifically know what triggered it. I don't know if they were about to level one of them, but they started digging up the grounds and just started finding hella bodies. I mean, just bodies for days. And the last I remember, I think the number was 715 bodies. The largest of the gravesite was over 200 of these bodies that have been dug up at these schools that are bodies of these children that were sent there that never came home. And so Canada is having this like reckoning of the grave injustice has been done to these Indigenous people that have been talked about for generations and was never dealt with. And so to my knowledge, they don't know exactly how these kids die. They're just going off of potentially what may have happened from stories of survivors, because there are people who went to the boarding school and came and made it and told the stories of whatever they witnessed, or even in some cases what they experienced of just the extremely terrible things that the priests and the monks and stuff would do to them. But they're labeling it basically a cultural genocide, and Canada is just saying they're committed to continue to go to all these schools and start unearthing all the land and seeing if there'll be more bodies that they'll be discovered. But Canada is made up of 1.7 million Indigenous people, which is about 5% of their population, with a large of them being wiped out. I think they said there was hundreds of thousands of kids that were sent to these schools during that period of time before they closed down, that a lot of them never came back home. So I saw this story probably about a month ago when it first kind of started breaking. I think the number was at like 100, 200, or they had just discovered that large 200 grave or something like that. And I remember thinking, what the heck is going on? And the more I kept reading on it, which I did, I couldn't read too much on it because it's stuff like that just gets heavy for me. But the more I kind of read on it, I was just like, this is insane. You all try to wipe out an entire people group by sending them to boarding schools, which, like when we talked about Yah-Jesse's book and the whole concept, the conversation of colonization of the faith, mm-hmm. and how a lot of these schools were, you know, it was religiously motivated. They would consider themselves to be Christians. They go, they set up these schools, and in the process, you're decimating people in the vilest ways to the point that you're killing them. Or leading to their death in some way, whether you're not feeding them or you're abusing them or whatever. And yeah, Canada's kind of getting shaken right now with these discoveries. I don't think it's the end. They're predicting they're going to find thousands and thousands of more bodies. So this is an ongoing thing. But I was like, man, we haven't talked about it on the podcast, so I brought it in. But what are y'all thoughts on that?
Well, one, honestly, I was like, I'm not surprised because Canada used to be British. Mm. But you said this was in the early 1900s?
I believe that's when the first school. Yeah.
Yeah, well,
that seemed kind of late.
Yeah, because they gained independence in 1867. So, that was Canada for Canada's sake. They had nothing to do with Britain. But that was my first thought.
Yeah, like the, what is it, 1930s?
1930s?
Oh, wow, that's really late.
That's late.
Hold on. Thinking like 1901, 1902.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, no, this was funded by the Canadian government. Like, this has nothing to do with the British.
I mean, well, not but nothing. Even there are still residual effects of right. yes, being a part of the true. Commonwealth.
Same with us.
Truth, exactly.
But that's even still, that even outside of whether or not they were colonized or not, like, that's so late to yeah. be like... Yeah.
Okay, so it came out of the Indian Act that was passed in 1876, and then they amended it in 1894 that made attendance of day schools and industrial schools and residential schools compulsory for First Nations students or children. So you're talking late 1800s, 1894.
I mean, that's and still then, Canada.
Yeah, yeah, by 1930, about 30% of the Indigenous children were believed to be attending these residential schools. So it's still Canada.
That's nuts.
Yeah. I was reading it like my mind was just blown. I was like, this is a different level of trauma. Like, y'all are just, and one of the guys who was in charge of the project digging, he was just like, when we went on some of these plots, we literally could feel the bodies under the ground. Like, they were shallow graves. And I'm like, he was like, there were just so many bodies. And I'm like, yeah.
How has this not been discovered before now?
Exactly. Like, what the heck? Like, so you guys just ignored generations of indigenous people who have been saying, yo, we sent family members to schools. Yeah,
100%.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah. I'm more shocked that no one has stumbled across this, or no dog has dug up a skull or a femur, than I am surprised that they ignored the cries of the indigenous people.
That's fair. And they may have stumbled on it and just covered it up.
Yeah.
But I mean, the numbers are just going to keep increasing. If you guys made it mandatory for first generation indigenous children to go to these schools, there's a lot of dead bodies. Lots. Sad. Super sad. But yeah, that's all I have.
All right, well, this was a
I did have one more thing that I wanted to say. I just wanted to say that we are aware of the condo collapse in Florida. At Surfside. Yes. Praying for everyone that is involved, the families of the people who are still missing.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't even know what I don't even know what exactly for right now, you know, but just still lifting you all up and praying for the best possible outcome from here.
And
once everything clears and all of that, justice in the end.
Justice,
absolutely. Sure. Accountability.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this has been a rather heavy episode, but that is all we have for you guys. We will see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.